Welcome to TotalPlay's call to discuss its fourth quarter 2022 financial and operational results. My name is Rolando, and I will be your host today. We thank you for your time in joining us for this call today. Before we begin, some housekeeping. This call is being recorded. By continuing to be this call, you are consenting to be recorded. If you object to this, you may leave the call at any time. After our panel is finished presenting, we will open the floor for a Q&A section. For that, I will ask you please raise your hand so we can advance you to the panelist mode. If you're unable to raise your hand, you might send your question through the chat to be read. Now, I will turn the call over to Alejandro. Alejandro, you may start at any time.
Thank you, Orlando, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Alejandro Rodriguez, Chief Financial Officer of TotalPlay. On behalf of the company, we would like to welcome you all to TotalPlay's fourth quarter conference call. I would like to remind that today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements based on the business environment as we currently see it. Such as statements may involve risk and uncertainties more fully disclosed elsewhere and in the company filings with securities authorities. These risks and uncertainties include, but are not limited to, economic, competitive, legal, governmental, and technological factors. As such, there is no assurance that the company expectations will be realized. The company assumes no obligation to revise any forward-looking statements should circumstances change. So let's go to page four, please. Thank you. We're very pleased with our fourth quarter earnings as our revenue, EBITDA, operating cash flow, own past, RGUs, and ARPU continue to grow at historically strong levels. In fact, we experienced substantial results in main KPIs. Revenue increased 28%. We had a record-breaking EBITDA margin of 45%. Operating cash flow year over year grew from 10 billion to 17.1 billion. Home passed increased 18% to more than 17 million home passed. RGUs growth of 23%. ARPU increased from 612 pesos to 617 pesos. Lastly, TotalPlay had its first quarter with cash flow neutral. As seen in our fourth quarter results, TotalPlay continued to strengthen its position by providing a unique best-in-class telecom service in Mexico. This would not be possible without our continued network investment to increase coverage and capacities to offer the fastest internet speeds in the market with the highest reliability to our market, residential, and empresarial customers. For example, we grew the network coverage 25% year over year to reach more than 130,000 kilometers of fiber deployed by the end of the year 2022. In terms of capacity, our internet consumption grew 9% in peak real-time traffic and 37% in streaming traffic. During the fourth quarter, and compared to the same period last year, total revenues grew 28% to 9.7 billion pesos, driven by a 32% growth in our residential business and 7% in empresarial business. Consolidated EBITDA increased 31%, growing to 4.4 billion pesos, with a quarterly record of 45% EBITDA margin. These outstanding results are closely related to the company's continued growth in its coverage and capacity, its lean operation, best customer service, and responsible management. In terms of home passed, we grew 18% or 3.7 million home passed in 1 year, not only without decreasing penetration, but increasing it to 25% on a much larger footprint. Residential RGUs increased 23% year over year to a record high of 11.1 million. Most importantly, we continue to see a strong growth in our video RGUs, the biggest video RGU increase in the market. ARPU increased 617 pesos, and the monthly churn rate increased to 1.5% due to price increases and unification packages. Residential subscribers increased 24% from fourth quarter 2021 to December 2022, amounting to an impressive 838,000 net adds. This significant growth represents 70,000 monthly net adds on average during the period analyzed. The company had an average of 362,000 gross adds installed per quarter. Regarding Totalplay Empresarial, our business segment oriented to serve enterprise and governmental organization, grew its revenue by 7% when compared to the same quarter last year. Higher revenues come from a growth of 12% in enterprise locations to reach a total of 138,000 locations. During the quarter, the company invested 5.5 billion pesos into CapEx, including SAC, to connect more subscribers in our network, which will translate into higher revenues, higher EBITDA, and higher profitability while continuing to increase the market share. Operating cash flow grew 7.1 billion pesos in 2022 compared to last year. Our gross operating cash flow allow us to fully fund interest expenses and changes in working capital, plus a big portion of CapEx, including SAC. As previously mentioned, our journey towards reaching free cash flow positive continues as Totalplay experienced its first positive unlevered free cash flow during the fourth quarter. The total debt increased 17% when compared to the same period of last year, or approximately 9.5 billion pesos, consistent with the free cash flow deficit experienced in the same period. 45% of our total debt is denominated in US dollars, 5% in Chinese currency, and 50% remain in pesos, including leases. Despite seeing an increase in terms of total debt, as previously discussed, due to the company's strong EBITDA growth, leverage decreased from 3.5x as December of 2021 to 3.3x by December 2022. We project leverage to continue declining as EBITDA growth and the company reaches its free cash flow break-even point. The company is continually focused on improving its debt profile. We continue to shift the ratio of secured versus unsecured debt from 42-58 in December 2022. As previously communicated, we are continuously analyzing strategies to enhance the debt profile, reduce short-term amortizations, and reduce the cost of debt. Finally, to have a comprehensive understanding of the company's liquidity position, at the end of 2022, the company cash balance was of 1.1 billion pesos, has to be complemented with a restricted cash balance of an additional 2 billion pesos, plus a committed undrawn line of 3.6 billion pesos, which is add up to a total liquidity of 7.5 billion pesos. And on behalf of Totalplay, I would like to thank you all for your interest in the company, and I'm glad to take the questions now.
Thank you, Alejandro. Again, so I can advise you to the panelists mode, just raise your hand. Alejandro, we have a question from Stefan Stick. Stefan, you may speak at any time.
Hi, Alejandro. Thanks for the call today. I was wondering if you have any guidance on 2023, just anything on homes pass, connections, CapEx. And then that's my first question. Second question is around sources of funding that you have right now besides the undrawn letter of credit on how you're planning on addressing 2023 upcoming debt maturities. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Yeah, well, in terms of the plans for this year is in terms of home pass, we will not be doing any more home pass. Remember the last year when we said that we were going to be reaching 17.8 million home passed. We will reach 17.5. We will stay there. We will not be increasing any more home passed. In terms of new subscribers, we expect to reach more or less the same net subscribers by the end of the year of 1 million subscribers. We have forecast of 1.2% in terms of churn, continue to increase the ARPU. And in terms of how we'll address the amortizations that we have, well, we're working with an international bank in terms of raising debt in order for us to do the refinance on what we have, and obviously going into the local markets in order to do refinancing as well.
Thanks. And do you have a CapEx figure for the year?
Yeah, we have a CapEx. The CapEx that we have, it's, let me see, just 1 second. It's between 15 to 17 billion pesos. Most of it will be coming from SAC, but obviously that will be in terms of if we continue to grow in that many subscribers or not. If not, it will be substantial reduce the CapEx that we have for this year's compared to last year's. We expect that to be around 30, 40% of the revenue.
Okay. Thank you. And if I can just have one more quick one. It's around churn. You mentioned potentially pricing as the cause for the increase. I'm curious if there's any particular operator that you're losing customers to. And then it sounds like for 2023 that you're expecting churn to come back down to below 1.5%. So you said 1.2 times. How are you going to get back that number back down?
Well, what we're doing right now is we're focusing on acquiring better customers. So that's one of the reasons. So when we did the increase in the prices and unification of all the packages, we lost many customers that couldn't support or couldn't pay for the service. So that's why was one of the reasons we lost that many customers. Right now, we are focusing on all the sales that we're doing are from personal of Totalplay. So it's directly, so we attend much better which are the customers that we are going to be connecting. And by doing that, we expect to have better clients, better outputs, and a lower churn.
Yes, Stefan, you have more any more questions?
I'm all set for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan.
Our next question comes from Andrea Quesada.
Hi, good morning. I would appreciate if you can comment a little bit on free cash flow generation. In previous calls, you were talking that for the fourth quarter, you expected to end the year like neutral free cash flow. Did that goal was met? And what do you expect for next year? And then link to the needs for additional liquidity. And again, taking out the revolving facility, what alternatives do you have for raising new money, and how much do you need for 2023? And I have an additional question later.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're working with an international bank, which we are looking to raise with this bank between $200 to $300 million. That will be used in order to do most of the refinancing we have for this year. We are expecting to have free cash flow positive for the year. We have been increasing the operating cash flow that it may help us out in terms of paying CapEx and SAC already. For the last month of December, we generated for the first time neutral, well, unlevered free cash flow, so positive, which was a big outcome. And so that trend, we continue to see it in the coming months. And the main reason for that is that for the customers that we are connecting, and we are reducing part of the SAC that we are investing. By doing that is how we are gonna be reaching and having cash flow positive for this year.
Do you have a magnitude that you can share with us?
No, I don't have it right now, and we're working on that. We have an but let us work on the information, and then we will be happy to share it with you.
Okay, thank you. And maybe a follow-up on the competitive environment. Can you explain a little bit more in detail the low net adds on the last quarter of 2022? So is the market becoming more competitive, your competitors are making more pressure, so net additions are more difficult, or is a seasonality, or these disconnections are like a one-off event, not expected to be repeated?
We see it like a one event, not expected to be repeated, and that was because we did increase on the prices and unification of the packages. And that's something that came, well, that happened to us, and that those cancellations came because of that. Right now, as we see right now, what we have in January and February, that number has been a lot lower than what we had before. So that is what we expect to have happen in the next quarters, to continue to be lower. And by doing what we're doing, for example, is we choose whenever we have the new subscribers, we do it only with the commercial people from Total Play. We don't have any third parties helping us on the sales, like distributors and anything. So when we have these internal people selling and using the social channels and this kind of the sales channels, it's becoming a much better client with a better profile, and by doing that, it's helping us maintaining the ARPU and also lowering the churn that we experienced in the last quarter of last year. I don't see it's going to be a competitive environment. If you see the net promoting score of Total Play is continued to be the highest one in the market. And maybe it's also something that related that all the people, it's going back to work, obviously, and the kids going back to school. So the needs that we had before during the pandemic, it obviously have changed the market, but broadband and everything is continued to be the primary service for everyone, and they will continue to hire this service, not as it was before on this, growing that much, but we see the trend and everything lower than before, but it's continued to be a good one for us. So we continue to see that and the growth expected, not as high as before, but it will be very good as well.
Okay. If you can remind us what kind of penetration are you expecting to have at the end of the year, and net leverage, I would appreciate.
Yes, the penetration that we expect this year is 28% on 17.5 million subscriber million home passed. And what else did you ask? Sorry.
And net leverage by the end of the year?
And net leverage, we see that it will be below three times.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Our next question comes from David Schellhammer, excuse me.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. I have three. They're all related to guidance, so I'm just going to bucket them together. So just going back to 3Q on CapEx, it was my understanding that you guys had guided to $900 million for full year of 2023. So we were expecting CapEx to come in pretty significantly lower in 4Q. But it looks like guidance or the actual CapEx number came in closer to $1.1 billion. I just want to know what happened there. And then as well on CapEx, last quarter for full year 2023, you guys had guided to $650 million for the full year in 2023. But this guidance now looks like it increased to $750 to $850. Just want to get a little more clarity on the increase there. And then lastly, on homes passed, I know guidance was 17.8, and now you're speaking to 17.5. What was the reason for the reduction in the homes passed that you expect? And then just one piece of clarity, in the slide presentation, you guys had 17.3 million homes passed, but we're speaking to 17.5. So do you expect an additional 200,000 passed in 2023, or are they already passed? Thank you.
Yeah, in the home, well, let me start with home passed. Yeah, we announced that we were going to be reaching 17.8 million. But we decided not to go to reach the full 17.8 because that means to go into new cities. And having new cities, we will be increasing the expenses for Totalplay because it has to do, well, so we prefer to do it the new home passed instead of new cities to do marginal where we already have coverage and where they already know us. And yeah, by the end of the year, we end on 17.3, and we already deployed 200,000, so we reach 17.5, and that's where we are gonna be. That's where we're gonna be stay. We're not gonna be any more home passed because of that reason. We see that there was more opportunity for us to go in the cities where we already have the coverage and they already know us, and it's better for us because we grow. We have a better penetration in those cities than going into a new one and you know, hiring new people and having many expenses on new offices and stuff like that. So that's the reason why we decided not to go to the full 17.8. In terms of CapEx, we see this year that will be a decline on what we had before, mainly because we're not doing any more CapEx on new home passed or expansions. We will be focusing on only reaching new customers. And by doing that, we'll be decreasing the CapEx that we have been invested in the past, as well as we are doing a lot more focusing more on the subscribers that we are reaching. And also we are lowering what we use in CapEx to have a new subscriber. What happened last quarter in terms of, or last year in terms of the CapEx that we invested? Well, we won some projects on the empresarial business that they are under developed. They're developing. We haven't connect all the this new projects that we won. We expect that to finish this quarter just with these new projects with the government. Also, we have to do some replacements on the equipment that we have connected with the actual subscribers, which were already old and it doesn't have the same performance. So we need to change around 400,000 ONTs and 450,000 more or less set of boxes to the subscribers. So that's something that we didn't have on the roadmap, and we needed to do in order to maintain the same level of service for the actual subscribers that have been with us many years. And I don't know, but the second question you asked was about...
The second question was just the increase in guidance for 2023 around CapEx. I believe last quarter you guys had guided to around $650 million, but it looks like this range has increased to $750 to $850, which is lower than full year 2022, but is an increase from what you guys said last quarter. Just curious why the increase in expected CapEx based off previous guidance.
Well, the increase is based mainly in the because we like to reach gross adds of 1.1 million subscribers, 1.2 million subscribers. That's the reason why we just the forecast that we had before, we increase it into more new customers or gross adds, and that's the reason why. But obviously, if we don't reach that many customers or that many gross adds, will be the SAC or the CapEx lower than we forecasted, and will be in the range of the 650 more or less.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Our next question comes from Megan McDonald.
Hi, yes, thanks, Orlando. For taking my question. I have a couple questions. The first, you were talking about a government project that's been the driver for the surprise CapEx increases that we've seen relative to guidance. So I was wondering if you could give the total estimated cost for these government projects and let us know if these are one-off. Are they expected to continue? And then I guess I would assume that this is the driver for CapEx coming up despite the scaling back in the homes passed. My other question is, I'm looking at the payables on the balance sheet. It seems that all of them are short-term, and it seems they've increased significantly. You have about $707 million in payables off of rough FX numbers, and about an $80 million increase quarter on quarter. So I was hoping you could just kind of talk about the tenure for those and any detail that you can share there in plans to address those or roll those and what they're comprised of. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Megan. Well, the projects on the government, it's not a one project, it's, well, several projects, not only government, but also on the enterprise business. I will give you the detail on the projects. It's only one time. It's not a current or concurrent CapEx that will be investing on those. But during the year, we didn't have on the pipeline those projects. So it came out to the last quarter, and that's the reason why it increased in that time. So it's on their development, and once we finished, obviously that will be a source of income, and it will be reduced the CapEx in the company. It also has to do with the replacements on the equipment that I mentioned before. Yep. And so we will give you the details on those projects, the government, and as well as the enterprise.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, please.
just quickly on that. So the so those projects that you've taken on, you know, is there a potential that there's additional projects that could be added? Or I know you said this is a one-off. Will there be opportunities to participate more? Is this something that you're only participating in once? I'm just trying to get a sense of if we should expect CapEx might increase further based on, you know, how it's been this quarter relative to last quarter and guidance.
No, it should not increase because okay. The projects are almost done and there should not be an increase on the CapEx coming in the coming months. So that's something that was one time and then that's it.
Okay, and then about the payables?
The payables increase was mainly because of some on the CapEx when we finished this 17.3 million home passed, that was related with the CapEx. So the payables increased mainly on the suppliers that help us out developing this increase in the home passed. And that's something that's always, you know, like a something normal for us. When we finish doing the CapEx on the deploying new home passed, we first need to do, you know, like a supervision on all the deploy fiber that we did on the new cities, etc. Once we certify that everything is under what we have in terms of our standards, we start liberating those payments to the suppliers. But it's something mainly normal on what we do for this kind of projects. That's the reason why it increased, and we expect that to be paid during this quarter once we finish doing and supervising all this new home pass that were, you know, they were delivered to us.
Okay, thank you. And just one final question. So taking into account the revised CapEx and taking into account the plans to address those payables in the first quarter, can you help us to understand when you would expect to reach free cash flow neutral without the need of funding? Any help on that would be greatly appreciated. And thank you again.
Thank you. And let me prepare that also to give it to you as well.
Any more questions, Megan?
I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Our next question comes from Alexander Grun. Alexander, you might speak at any time.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. Just to follow up on the subscribers, did I understand correctly initially? Maybe I didn't hear it right. 1 million subscribers is what you expect for next year. The follow-up question would be, given your network expansion and your homes passed, do you have any sort of targets, what the capacity of subscribers that are on the market that you can take on? So how many subscribers in the medium term do you think you have? And the second question would be looking a little bit more forward, 2025, in your capital structure, you mentioned you're in negotiations with banks. So am I right to assume, given where interest rates are compared to last year and the year ago, that all the discussions are around secured financing? And the follow-up on this would be, how much headroom do you have under your receivables master trust facility? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, in terms of subscribers, yeah, we expect to have a net adds of 1 million. That's what we're expecting. Then that means we will be able to reach 28% in terms of our coverage, in terms of penetration. What we expect in the coming years is to reach between more or less 38%. So, and that means getting 7 million subscribers. That's going to be by 2027. That's what the forecast that we have. For the network expansion, well, we're okay with having this 17.3 million home passed. Is more than what Megacable has, a lot more, and it's more or less on what Televisa Easy has as well. So if we do some increases, it will be in a year and a half from now, once we see how the market develops, and we are taking, you know, be precautious on how the market will continue to evolve, and the economic conditions will be for the country. So that's why we're not expecting on doing anything else for the moment, and we feel comfortable on what we have today. The target for us is to reach 1/3 of the market between Mega, Easy, and Total Play and Telmex. And what else? On the loan that we were looking at, it's going to be a secure loan. And it's with an international bank, and the rate that we expect that to be, it's still on we're still negotiating with the bank, but it's something between SOFR plus with a margin of some around 450 basis. Mm-hmm. What else?
Working capital facilities, the headroom you have. So could you sell more receivables effectively in your master trust, if I understand that correctly?
Well, in the master trust with the subscribers you mentioned, yeah. That's okay. How many subscribers we have on the that are secured with the loans that we handle today? That's the question, or
yeah.
Okay, that's below 30%. It's in a range between, because we have been growing the base, so that's going to be, yeah, between 30% more or less of the total customers could be on the secured loans that we have for these with the customers.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alexander. Our next question comes from Froilan Mendez.
Hello, guys. Thank you very much for taking my question. Alejandro, I would love to hear your thoughts on how prices in the industry are behaving. I mean, I see your ARPU stood flat quarter on quarter, but you did mention that you increased prices. I guess that's for the new customers. But are you seeing pressure from peers to cut prices, to increase penetration, and therefore, what is your strategy for the next year? And secondly, what are your thoughts on having a three-player market instead of a four-player market, with all the discussions that we have seen between Televisa and Megacable's potential merger? Does that, in your view, make sense? Does not make sense? Could happen, could not happen? Would love to hear your thoughts, whatever you can say.
Thank you for that. Well, in terms of prices, yeah, well, we did increase, but for the total subscribers that we have, but we continue to see the increase in the coming weeks. So you will see the ARPU will continue to increase in the coming months, but also it changes the mix that we have before. So that's why you saw an increase in terms of ARPU, not as big as for that as we thought, because the mix has been changing more into double play than triple play. So before we had a more than 60% in terms of triple play, right now should be around 50-50 on the new subscribers, what they are. So that's the mix, and that's why you don't see this big jump in the ARPU, but it continued to increase in the coming months. The environment in terms of what we have with competition, well, the prices hasn't been reduced for them. They do a reduction last year, but they increase it again. But we continue to maintain firm on the beliefs on what we have. We have a better product, a better service, and that's why we increase prices instead of reducing prices. And the people continue to buy the product because of it's much better product. So we are not into a price war or anything. We much better believe that have better prices for the customers. And if we don't get that many customers because of the price, we feel comfortable with that, because we prefer to have good customers and having this to pay more for the service that we deliver, which is much better. That's something that we believe, and it has been a strategy that has been working for us for all this time. The environment on what we see, that if they will be reducing or they will be merging Easy and Mega, that's a good question. It's Easy wanted to do that, and they already announced, or they do an announcement. But Mega, I believe they will not want to make that kind of merger. If they do something, they sell the company 100%, but I don't believe they will be likely to merge with Televisa and have partners. That could be a good move, and I believe it's going to be much better for us if something like that happens in the market, because it will be solely Easy and Total Play. And well, the thing about what we do when we grew, it's doing an organic growth. So everything what we have, it's the same in every place where Total Play is, because of the network, it's exactly the same. In every city, the equipment that we use is exactly the same for all the customers. So it's a standard and much better service, rather than growing by buying some other companies. It's the transition. It's very painful, and it doesn't, it's not that easy to make this kind of, they will have to work a lot on and looking at the networks that they have, looking at the equipment that is connected with the customers. And it will take time for them to make something standard in terms of, like, well, if they do this kind of a transaction. So that's an opportunity for us.
Understand.
That's my thoughts. I don't know. That's maybe I'm not. It's not entirely correct, but that's what we think internally.
Perfect. No, thank you so much, Alejandro.
Thank you.
Thank you, Froilán. Our next question comes from Simon Duff. Simon, you may ask your question.
Hi, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh,
yes.
Brilliant. Just some clarification questions, really. The 15 to 17 billion CapEx guidance, is that cash CapEx? And does that include the impact of reducing those CapEx payables, or will that be on top of the 15 to 17 billion guidance? Second question is on that subs growth, where you were guiding for a million net adds next year. Can you just explain to us how that gels with the only 100,000 sub growth in the fourth quarter? Why are we going to see a reacceleration of net adds? Third question, a basic one on the cash liquidity, the 2 billion restricted cash. Sorry, can you just clarify how and for what purpose that is restricted and why you're comfortable including it in your liquidity buffer if it is indeed restricted? And the last question on free cash flow positive guidance for the year, is that, can you be really clear, is that levered or unlevered free cash flow? Because I think previous guidance was, when you talk about it, is on an unlevered basis. So I want to be absolutely clear that this is levered, whether it's levered or unlevered for the free cash flow positive guidance for full year 2023.
Yeah, well, in terms of CapEx, that's correct. It's what you said. In terms of the subscribers growth, well, the net adds that we had in the last quarter is because of the cancellations of the churn that we experienced because of the price that we the price increase that we had. That's the reason why we have net adds for the last quarter. They were lower, between 90,000. But that number has been increasing because the cancellations have been lowering and we have much better subscribers. So that's how we expect to reach the million subscribers and also the net add subscribers. Also, we need to take into account that we have new coverage that was deployed during the fourth quarter. So this new coverage that we have in terms of new home pass, well, we expect that to come, or the bigger penetration to come on those places. The cash restricted is the cash that we hold in the for the debt that we had in terms of secured debt. So it's a term of we have principal as well as some two periods of debt service that are held in that restricted cash. And so whenever we get into the termination of these secured loans, part of that cash goes directly to pay the service as well as the principal on that debt. And in terms of free cash flow, we expect that to be levered. So free cash flow, obviously levered free cash flow during the year.
Okay, that's perfect. And then on the CapEx, sorry, you gave a very short answer and I may have missed it. Did you say that the 15 to 17 billion includes the impact of unwinding those CapEx payables?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Our next question comes from Alejandro Gallostra. Alejandro, you may speak at any time.
Hi, good morning, Rolando, Alejandro. You mentioned that you currently have a 25% penetration rate, that you expect the penetration rate to increase to 28% by the end of this year. And you mentioned a target of 28% by 2027. I would like to better understand how you expect to reach these levels of penetration. If this is because you are very optimistic on the overall market growth, or if you expect to take market share from your competitors, I would like to understand what is driving you to expect this penetration rate, which is much higher than what your competitors expect to get in the market. Also, I'd like to know and understand what makes you so confident and what makes you believe that you can get one third of the market by 2027, or even more than one third, with a premium product and in a four-player market. And who do you think would be the main loser in the long term out of these four players or the other three players? Who do you think would be the main loser in your view? So that these are my two questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alejandro. Well, yeah, the penetration for this year was 25%. We expect that to increase to 28%. The biggest increases that we expect in terms of penetration is this year and next year. And we expect that to be because of the new home pass that we developed or during last year. So that's where the main growth will come from. Yeah, by 2027, we expect that penetration on our home pass to be 37%, between 37% to 38%. Why or are we expecting to have that much or that penetration? Well, it's based on the trends that we see on the new subscribers that we are getting from the market. So that's how we expect to have that many subscribers. Obviously, the increase or the growth in the coming years will not be as substantial as it was. But in the long run, it's 5 years from now, four years from now, we expect that to get this level of penetration. That's the forecast that we have. Maybe it may be conservative, or maybe it could be aggressive. But we will continue to see in the coming months and in the coming periods how this will be developing. Obviously, the competition is being aggressive and it's doing their job. I'm not saying they're not doing that. They are placing fiber and they're doing some capex in order to get be more competitive and then having a more competitive landscape in the country. But I see also that the market for broadband as well as for pay TV continue to be unpenetrated. So there's a big opportunity for the three companies or four companies to continue growing. The reason why we expect we could be more aggressive or continue to grow this much is, well, because of the service that we provide. It's a much, much better service with a much better technology. And all the things that we have, for the customers with a 4K set of box, with a Wi-Fi 6 OT, a much better service and broadband that could reach speeds of up to 1G. So those are the main drivers that we see, that it's a differentiated service that we have and the people know. And this word of mouth that helps us out in increasing our penetration. So those are the main things that we see. Who could be the main loser? Well, I don't know. That's a tough question. I hope not to be thrown away, but it's very early to see that, because they're doing many things and they are, getting into that point in terms of investments, in terms of doing more capex in order to have a better service and be more competitive. So it's too early to say who's going to be or who could be the loser in because they're all of them, they're doing many things to maintain the level of service and to reduce the level of churn that they have. So the main thing that we see is continue to be an unpenetrated market, that there's an opportunity and some places where we have better service to get customers from the competition in order to get to this penetration that we expect.
Good, thank you, Alejandro. Another question, if you may, how much of your network currently overlaps with the other players, and who would you say is the main your main competitor right now in your current footprint? Okay.
Well, the main competitor in the footprint it should be América Móvil, Telmex. We have whenever total play is, it's going to be Telmex. That's the main thing. The second should be Easy. I believe Easy is the one that where we have more or less the same footprint on the cities and the customers we address.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alejandro. Our next question comes from Gabriela Chaparro.
Hi, Rolando and Alejandro, how are you? One quick question. Can you give us an EBITDA guidance for 2023, please?
Yeah, well, the EBITDA for 2023, what we expect is to be around a 46% margin. So increase from what we closed last quarter, 45, increase it to 46.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Gabriel. Our next question comes from Simon Duff.
I think I already have my questions and you answered them, so.
Okay, thank you, Simon. Okay, our next question is from Julian Rios.
Yes, good day. Thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of clarification questions. With respect to you mentioned enterprise CapEx ramped up during the fourth quarter of 2022. Can you tell us how much you invested in enterprise CapEx for full 2022? How much of it was in the fourth quarter of 2022? And what your expectations are for investing in that segment in CapEx for 2023. And relatedly, I wanted to understand what the impact, if any, will be on revenue growth for that segment in during 2023. How quickly do these investments begin to yield revenues, and what your expectations of the EBITDA margins on that business will be for 2023? If you could address that would be helpful.
Yeah, thank you. Well, let me give you the CapEx for full 2022. I don't have it with me right now, but we will prepare mm-hmm. that information. The thing with whenever we do this type of projects, it's how can I explain you? It's the increase in terms of revenue for Empresarial for the last year was 7%, because the projects, they don't come, you know, as residential by looking at the new customer. So it's some projects. There's a project that will work with the companies or with the government in order to reach into that point. So most of the year we didn't have mostly anything, and then by the end of the year is when these projects came. So it's a matter of, you know, the timeline. So and whenever we won the project, we started to deploy the project and everything, and the revenue come as soon as we finish the project. And the project may last between 2 months, approximately, 2 months, 2 months and a half. It depends on obviously how big the project is. But as soon as we start giving part of this project, or the enterprises or the government start the payments. The payback for this type of project, because they are big projects, are more or less 18 months, and it gives a substantial growth in terms of revenue. So mainly the reason why we have this not big increase in the revenue of Empresarial, it's, for example, we finished the project of the cameras and surveillance in Quintana Roo, so we got from that project that was finished last year, we got, I believe it finished in March, April. So from then on, we had less revenue in terms of 500 million pesos for the year. So that's why we needed to look at new projects like this in order to continue the growth, but it's not that you can replace it that fast. So we the people in the commercial area has to look for these projects in order to get this kind of projects and have the revenue increase in that segment.
And for 2023, what's your guidance for growth in revenues from this segment?
We have we expect that to be in empresarial, the revenue growth to be, it's at 18%.
Okay, and can you talk about the IRR for this type of project? You said the payback is 18 months. What kind of returns are you looking at in this specific type of projects that you've invested in?
What we look when we do this type of projects is to be around 20%. That's the lowest. So we have the minimum that we expect in order to have an IRR in this project are 20%. Mm-hmm. And that's the minimum that we expect. So we have projects that could be in between 20% up to 30%. It's not, you know, the same for all the projects, but the minimum that we expect or we ask for is 20%.
Okay, and in terms of the CapEx, you know, the 15 to 17 billion pesos that you mentioned guidance for a consolidated CapEx, how much of that is represented or tied to the enterprise business, if any?
Yeah, for the enterprise, we expect that it's more or less 4 billion, between 4 to 4.5 million, more or less.
And was this the same number in the third quarter, as others have noted, there was guidance of roughly $650 million in CapEx, which now has grown meaningfully. Was this $4 to $4.5 billion already included in the CapEx guidance you had articulated during your third quarter call?
No, because it was these projects, we didn't have them on the pipeline, so those were extraordinary ones.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. And if I may indulge, just moving, staying on CapEx, but on the consumer side, what should we be thinking about in terms of, SAC CapEx, subscriber acquisition CapEx, on a per gross ad basis for 2023?
More or less, we have per customer. Blended should be a sack of $270 per customer.
Okay, it's a bit lower than I was working with, but thanks for that clarification.
We lowered that. Also, because as I mentioned previously, has to do with the mix of sales in which we have less triple play. And by having less triple play, we have to invest less in terms of a set of box and everything. So if we only have double play, we only have to connect the ONT plus all the materials and fiber to get to the home. And we don't have these set of box, which helps reducing the SAC that we invest in each customer.
Okay, great. And then another question earlier talked about the run-up in payables, and I think somebody else tied it to being included in the CapEx guidance. But what are the exact terms of this supplier debt, and by when does it need to be repaid? I think earlier in the conversation, someone mentioned it would have to be repaid during the first quarter of 2023. Is that correct?
Yes. So some of it has to be paid during the quarter. It also, it's because it's part of a CapEx on the expansion, and we need to supervise that old expansion that was done. It's expected on the terms and in the quality of what we do. So it may take, I don't know, maybe between 3 to 5 months to be paid once they we have all this work on our side done.
Got it. So the project gets built or whatever, then you have to confirm that that the project is to up to specifications, and then you have 3 to 5 months to pay that payable. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. And then I think my last question is on refinancing needs. You mentioned in the beginning of the conversation that you were working on this on a $200 to $300 million loan with an international bank at maybe SOFR plus 450 area mm-hmm. in terms of the cost. You also said that would be secured. I wanted to confirm whether when you say secured, this will be done through the existing master trust structure, or are you envisaging some other form of security?
No, it's through the master trust structure that we hold today.
Okay. And if you can confirm, as of the end of the year, do you have a sense as to what proportion of the existing residential revenue stream is encumbered currently in repaying this various costs, this various trust?
Yeah, it's 30% of the customers.
Pardon?
30%. 30.
30%. Okay. So that will increase if you get this $200 to $300 million new financing concluded, right?
It will increase, but also because we're doing some refinancing, it will be replaced. So it's not going to be one to one. It's going to be. This is going to be helping us to do some amortizations, and by doing that, it will be replacing the same customers that we have with other loans into this one. So it will not increase that much, and it may increase during some period up to maybe 32%, but it's not going to be one-to-one.
Understood. Yeah, because you have some of the bursas are maturing, and those are secured by the same revenue flows in an event.
Exactly.
Okay, and I think that is that's pretty much all my questions. Thank you very much for the call. Congratulations on the results, and I may have some follow-ups, but I'll call you guys directly. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julian. Our next question comes from Juan Berrios.
Oh, thank you very much. Congratulations for the results, guys. Very good ones. And I apologize if you already answered this question, but I had to join later in the call. But for the year, are you giving any specific CapEx guidance? I'm thinking about $800 million, but I'm not sure if that is too high or too little. I don't know if you are giving any specific number for the CapEx number.
No, I bet that's high. It's less than that.
Oh, okay, but you're not giving a number that you can share with us?
No, yeah. The range that we have, it's more or less, again, it's 600 to 700 million, but also it's going to be related more on how many customers we'll be handling during the year. So that's the range that we have.
100%, perfect. And then the second question is that you mentioned that this year you will have positive free cash flow, right? Mm-hmm. If you consider $650 million for we're talking about almost $200 million free cash flow year at the end of the year. Is that a reasonable number or?
Yeah, that's we have more or less the same number. It's a reasonable number, yeah.
So could be around 200 free cash flow this year. Okay, perfect. Amazing. Keep going, guys. Doing very well. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Juan. Our last question comes from Alexander Monroyt.
Great. Thank you very much for taking my question. So focusing back on the CapEx, could you please break down the 2022 CapEx between expansion, SAC, and just maintenance, and then just the 2023 number What should we be expecting for just pure maintenance? And then, you know, I guess the remainder SAC, and you've, you know, given some ranges there that, you know, I can sort of figure out. And then additional, you know, if you can explain a little bit more on this nuance of the decreasing SAC per subscriber. You mentioned that, you know, the less triple play allows for, you know, a little bit lower SAC because the need or lack of need for the setup boxes. But if you can provide a little bit more context in terms of, you know, how you expect the SAC per subscriber to evolve, let's say 2023, 2024. And then lastly, you had also mentioned besides this 200 to 300 million facility that has been discussed, potential Cebures issuances. And so if you could give a little bit more nuance with respect to how much you think you would be looking for in 2023 and what that timing would be. That's it.
Okay, well, let us prepare the CapEx and the breakdown for 2022. On the expansion as well, maintenance and SAC, because I don't have it with me right now. So let us prepare that information and we can give it to you.
Okay, and then, you know, once you send that, is it straightforward to assume that the maintenance for 2023 is gonna be similar? Yes?
Yeah, it should be similar, that's right, that's okay. Correct. Then on terms of you asked on terms of the Cebures, what do we expect to go into local markets this year and doing Cebures will be more in terms of doing this rollover on the Cebures that will be maturing this year. We have 2 billion pesos of Cebures that will be maturing during the year. One is going to be in March or April, and the other one in December. So those are mainly rollovers and as well the same period for 1 year. It's the same as we did in December last year. we did the rollover and we have a better better margin on what we issued in December because, well, the strong results on the company. And the other question was related to
the SAC. So you had mentioned that the SAC per subscriber is decreasing, and then you just mentioned a couple of questions ago that it should be around $270 per subscriber, which, you know, is a little bit lower than I think some of us were expecting. And so if you could just provide a little bit more context of you know, exactly why it's decreasing and how you expect that to evolve maybe beyond 2023, you know, for the next couple of years.
Yeah, the main reason in the blended SAC within the reason of it decreasing is because of the mix of sales. So we have more double play sales than we had before. Before it was above 65% and all the subscribers getting triple play, they were with at least two set of boxes. So that's the reason why it was more in the previous years. That was $340 more or less. Now, it decreased on the mix of sales because most of the sales, well, it has 50-50 more or less. And we didn't use that many set of boxes on the new customers, even though we continued to grow in the video, but the ratio went lower from two set of boxes up to 1.2 set of boxes. That's the average in terms of the set of boxes connected, and that's the reason why we had less SAC invested in the customers. Also, we did some changes in terms of what we do for connecting a new subscriber. So we are more deep into the doing more, being more efficient and having a most cost control as well as CapEx control. And whenever we had a new customer before, we didn't mind if we do, you know, we connected the client and it was like maybe 500 meters from the pole to the house. And so we invested a lot in the fiber that was connected from the pole to the house. Now, what we are doing is that we don't do more than 150 meters from the pole to the house. So that's, and it's standard to the whole country. So, and by doing that, it decreases in terms of the CapEx that we have to invest in a subscriber, and also it helps us out decreasing the maintenance because we have less cuts when we have the customers near to the pole than having this range of more than 500 meters to get to a subscriber. And that those are the main drivers reducing the SAC for the customers.
I'm sorry, so this is just because you are sort of closing in of consumers that you're pursuing to get a little bit closer to the pole.
Yep. That and the mix of sales.
Got it. Okay, perfect.
So we use less materials than we did before.
Makes sense. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Yes. Well, have one more question, Alexandra, from Jan Wiener. We will close the call.
Hi guys.
Well, now you give it to me.
Thanks for taking my question. Just to clarify again, you mentioned 1 million net adds, but I think you also mentioned penetration rate at the end of this year of 28%. Is that correct? And so 28% of 17.5 million versus today 25% into 17.3 million is 600,000 ads. I must be missing something more.
No, you're correct. Right, it's we close with 4.3. Yeah, we expect it to be 4.9, 600. No, I did a mistake. Yeah, it's that's gross at 1 million.
Okay.
Sorry, my mistake. Yeah.
Okay. And just a comment. I think it would be great if you had a slide with all the guidance that you give. Would make it a lot more efficient to have the call. And just one more question on the restricted cash. You said this is cash is set aside to service the secured debt. I think two months or two periods plus principal. So this is a principal that's due for this year or the next 3 months or what, or all the principal, or how does that work?
It's 2 months of a service of debt plus also it's not the full principle. It's only a part of it. It's not to repay all the the debt.
Okay, but for the liquidity analysis, obviously this is all available to service your debt, right? So there's no reason why we shouldn't take all of that. Okay, and so it's the last one. I think CapEx. You've said 15 to 17 billion peso, but then you also said $600 to $700 million. Is the peso number including some payables, pay down, or because these are different ranges?
It includes the pay down on it.
Okay, got it. Okay, makes sense. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. This will conclude the calls. I still see some questions, but I will try to follow up with you for the follow-up questions or the persons that already asked questions. Alejandro, you might say your goodbyes. And thank you.
Thank you, Rolando. Well, thank you everyone to be for the call and all the questions. And we will be happy to answer if you have any other questions in the coming days.
Thank you, Alejandro. This concludes today's call. You may disconnect at any time. Have a good day.
Thank you, bye.